Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Tea and crumpets, anybody? I think Eric Scalavino's ready for that or bangers and mash. Which is
cheers,
it?
Mate. The tea and crumpets.
Tea and crumpets
will suffice.
You don't go for the bangers and mash?
I could. Yeah.
See,
sure.
I actually loved that.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I loved it. It was good. I'm very much a pub food kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, pub grub.
Pub grub.
Yeah, yeah.
So go in and get my pint and then a little bangers and mash to go with it. And I'm in good shape.
Went
to shepherd's pie, you know, that kind of stuff, right?
Went to a great pub in, we stayed in the Mayfair district in 09.
Right.
Same place again this year.
Right.
Went to a place called the Audley in Mayfair.
Okay.
Audley Mayfair is great pub.
Right.
Good,
right.
Good pub food. I don't know if I'm going to go back there or try to maybe find out, you know, search out a new location to eat when we're there.
You might have to also search for a new location.
Oh, yeah, definitely
right?
Will.
Try it.
I also want to get to Borough Market, which is like a big outdoor farmer's market type place.
Sounds like it'd be
so
fun,
much.
Actually.
I think it's on the other side of the Thames.
Have you done the touristy stuff like the Crown Jewels and all that stuff, too?
I didn't do anything in the Tower of London the last time we were there, so that's a possibility. Maybe go see the crows.
Because I have done that. I've gone to the Tower of London. I've gone to see the Crown Jewels. I've gone to Buckingham. I've done all that stuff. And I have to admit, spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular. It's well worth your time. Well worth your time. We welcome inside Patriots Playbook for Wednesday, everyone. John Rook, PFW's Eric Scalavino alongside. We're going to jump right into the football game and the matchup with the Rams, and we're going to get into some other items about the trip over to London. The Rams, obviously, as you know, are already there. They are as the home team. They've gotten into some of their civic duties in the greater London area. The Patriots, as well as a lot of the party for the Patriots and even the Rams, will also be leaving tomorrow in order to arrive on Friday and start to get into gear for the 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff on Sunday. I did get, before we get to Steve Savard, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Rams, he's coming up here in about a minute. But before I get into that, I want to make mention of the fact that I got a great Facebook post message from a friend, and let me see if I can find it here really quickly. There it is. Okay. This is from my friend Ben, who is a Facebook friend from the UK, and I guess he's a part of the UK Pats group, which we know there's an extensive group there. And Ben, if you're listening, I hope you're listening live, because if you are, what I want you to do is pick up the phone and call, because I'd love to get your perspective. He said, hey, let's make it happen. I'd be happy to come on the show and let you know what the perspective is from the UK Pats fans. And I haven't had a chance to respond to you yet because I just saw the message on my Facebook page. So if you're listening and not doing this on the podcast, then by all means, 508-298-0398. Make the call or send me a note on Facebook if you're listening. Send me the note right now. Let me know the number you can be reached at, and I'll have Kevin place the call. All right? And because I'd love to get your perspective from o'er the pond, as the saying goes.
I like that hoodie, by the way, Kevin. The throwback Patriots hoodie.
Yeah, a little embarrassing this morning when I got this for Christmas last year. I think my parents might have given it to me. And I come in this morning and I'm sitting in my cube and a coworker upstairs goes, you know, you still got the tags on your hood. So I was like, it was a long morning.
Jeez.
So,
come on.
So little poor Jeff came up upstairs and took scissors and cut the tags off the back of my hood.
Oh my God, that really is a loser. Okay, that's very much Loserville. He's wearing the throwback too, right?
I love
the throwback.
You're a loser.
Exactly. How many people though really loved the throwback uniforms again this last weekend? I did. I think obviously, I want
them back for good.
Well, what I'd like to see is if you don't get the hulking Pat logo back, the old logo back, why not a red jersey with the current helmet as the alternate? Because they went with that ugly gray / silver thing a couple of years ago.
I think there'd be too much crossover between the two eras, and I like to separate them.
I don't know. Well, what about the Rams? The Rams uniforms.
I like the old Rams uniforms.
Now the real old ones with
the bright. No,
not the
real
yellow.
Old ones. Not the real old ones, but the
you like the bright
like
yellow
the,
ones.
Uh, the bright yellow and blue.
Yeah.
From the last Super Bowl that Kurt Warner was in.
Classic Rams
look.
Those
I like.
Classic Rams look. Steve Savard is the voice of the Rams on 101 .1 FM in St. Louis. He joins us here on Patriots Playbook. Steve, do the Rams wear the throwbacks often?
No, usually I think last year was once or twice. We haven't seen them this year yet. I'd actually like to see them go back to the throwbacks from the old L.A. days. My late partner, Jack Snow, used to wear it. And just the white and blue.
Correct,
I thought that was very classic. But, yeah, a lot of people prefer the canary yellow pants and all that. Of course, that was the greatest show on turf, and anything associated with that era is welcome here in St. Louis.
I can imagine. I can imagine. By the way, you know, speaking of Jack Snow, I remember him for those days very, very well. Just an unbelievable wide receiver, one of the greatest to have ever played the game. And I always thought that the Rams, to me, back in the Los Angeles era, 1960, late 60s, you know, the fearsome foursome, that era, to me, is what helped get me hooked on the NFL, to be quite honest with you.
A lot of people feel that way, really. And, you know, Rams fans from California still travel. They still come out here. We lost Jack way too early at age 62 in 2006.
And you're right.
I miss him every day. But I still have people coming up to me and saying, you know, I grew up on Jack Snow and the Rams and those uniforms and Roman Gabriel and Jack Youngblood. And there's a lot of tradition out there in L.A. And, of course, they never won a Super Bowl there. The Rams did win one here. And Jack was happy to be part of that. But, no, those are classic old uniforms. It's a classic franchise and one that's fallen on hard times in recent years, but we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, let's step into that. Again, Steve Savard is the play-by-play voice of the Rams in St. Louis, joining us here inside the playbook. What has this team done differently? And I'm sure there are a lot of things, but I mean, you can pick a few key items under Jeff Fisher's regime, if you will, that you see where maybe the light at the end of the tunnel isn't the oncoming train anymore.
Well, they've identified players that fit the scheme, which is not what's going on here in recent years. And they've not been afraid to load up on young players. They're rebuilding this football team. When they opened the season in week one, 17 of the 53-man roster, 17 players were true rookies, which is an inordinate amount of number, inordinate number of guys. The second part of it is this is Jeff Fisher's not only a terrific head coach, and he's already put his stamp on this football team. He brought with him what he called He warned Stan Kroenke ahead of time, you know, it's going to cost you for me to bring in a rock star coaching staff. He brought in a veteran coaching staff, and two big differences. One, experience of Jeff Fisher versus the inexperience of the previous two head coaches, Scott Linehan and Steve Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
But the other difference is the coaching staff. This coaching staff not only has experience, it is taking a bunch of youngsters and getting them ready to play, and they're already ahead of schedule. Now, no one expects the Rams to win the Super Bowl, but the fact that they're hovering around 500 at this point represents dramatic improvement. So he's put a stamp on the team, and he's also brought a first-rate coaching staff here to St. Louis.
Well, then how has that coaching staff, the obvious question for me anyway, it would be how the coaching staff has related to the personnel, and have you seen their ability to coach guys up, or do they feel like, is the general consensus here, they feel like they still need more of their style of player to be able to accomplish what it is they want to accomplish?
Well, both. They're not there yet. They need, you know, they still need more talent. They're stockpiling draft picks. That's what Jeff did this year. He's got two number ones next year, two number ones the following year.
Wow.
But the guys that are here,
sounds like the Pats,
they've not been afraid to plug in and play, and they're playing very well. Janoris Jenkins is playing at a high level considering he's a rookie cornerback. The kicker and the punter have been outrageous.
Yeah, both rookies.
Contributions from all over the place. Chris Givens, the fourth-round pick wide receiver from Wake Forest, stepping in. We expect more from the second-round pick, Brian Quick. Tremaine Johnson, the corner, third-round pick, is playing a lot. So these guys are playing up and down the lineup. And then the seventh-round pick, Daryl Richardson, has emerged as Steven Jackson's backup. So they're not afraid to plug guys in. This staff, unlike previous staffs in St. Louis, in a better position to get them ready to play football. And then Jeff Fisher knows the kind of player he wants. In free agency, he went out. The big money he spent was on his former cornerback in Tennessee, Courtland Finnegan, who's a tough, hard-nosed player. Jeff Fisher does not want wallflowers on his football team. He wants guys who are in the middle of it, are tough guys and committed to playing football, guys who have to love football. So he's identified some. He's brought them in. He still has a ways to go in terms of overhauling the entire 53-man roster.
Tell you what, Cortland Finnegan's a guy that a lot of people around here would love to have in a Patriot uniform, and I think anybody can play cornerback now, but I'm just saying that that name had come up in the offseason, but I don't think the Pats were interested in paying for him. So,
well, you know, I think he wanted to reunite with Jeff Fisher, and that was Fisher's number one signing. And that's really, guys, the most dramatically improved position on the team, and that is cornerback, not only with Finnegan and the rookie Jenkins, but Bradley Fletcher, who's a former starter, is the nickel corner now. Trumaine Johnson's playing a lot. They were ravaged by injuries, and they were taken advantage of all season long last year. It's now a position of strength on defense.
I liked Johnson a lot coming out of the draft this year. I liked his height, his speed. I know he played at a smaller school, comparatively to most of the guys, but he looked like he had some talent there. Steve, the guy I want to ask you about is a guy I really was in love with in the draft the previous year. And that's defensive end Robert Quinn. A little bit of a slow start, it seemed like, as a rookie, but is he turning a corner now so far under the Fisher administration?
No question about it. Now, he's still got a ways to go as far as a point of attack, run right at you defensive end, but he's learning. Chris Long is much better at that. Robert Quinn is a bundle of fast twitch fibers. This kid can cut a corner and get to the quarterback. He's got 7 sacks now. He's lost a few others because Michael Brockers missed a few games, and there was no inside push in some games, and a quarterback had an escape route. I think a big difference, again, is he's getting coached up. Mike Waffle is a first-rate defensive line coach, and I think he's helped take Quinn's game to the next level. He's still got a ways to go, but right now he looks like he's going to be a premier pass rusher for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Boy, it's disappointing to hear that because he was a guy we really, really, really wanted here. I can't speak for the scouting department and Bill Belichick, but as far as those of us who cover the team really wanted that impact pass rusher and thought Quinn was the guy.
Well, there were some red flags on him. You know, the Spagnuolo regime kind of took a flyer because, number one, they discovered he had a brain tumor.
Right, yep.
A benign brain tumor when he was in high school, and then he got kicked off in North Carolina. He really only played 2 years.
Yeah, he was part of that big scandal.
He wasn't real polished. I mean, he showed flashes. He wasn't real polished. They took a gamble on him. He played okay last year, but now he's taking it to the next level. He looks like a keeper.
Here's another guy that you mentioned him just a second ago that begins to, show some promise, and that's Michael Brockers. I know a little bit of a slow start, but I guess he had a bit of a coming out against Green Bay. So curious your thoughts as to his development and whether or not he can be that anchor in the interior part of the line.
I don't think there's any question about it. This guy, I mean, you look at him, he's the guy you want first off your bus at the stadium. I mean, he is just... I mean, he this is the way you would draw him up.
That's a good
man.
Way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, he is a man. He's only 21 and going to get better. He was really ascending in the preseason. Every preseason game he was getting better, and then the final preseason game he suffered a high ankle sprain. So he missed the first 3 or 4 weeks. He's starting to ascend again. The last 2 weeks he's played his best football. This week against Green Bay was his best game yet. Jeff Fisher was very decisive. He wanted to accumulate draft picks on draft day. He traded down and traded out when most people thought they were going to take Justin Blackmon. He went from 6 to 14. There were other guys on the board available at that position. He was very decisive. He wanted to improve his run defense first and foremost, and he thought Michael Brockers was the guy. He hasn't been a disappointment. He hasn't done anything spectacular yet, but I think right now, because of the high ankle sprain, he's just starting to feel comfortable, and I think you'll probably see him play a pretty good game this week.
All right, well, so we've touched on coaches, we've touched a little on defense, got to flip it to the offensive side of the ball. I'm obviously the focal point is Sam Bradford. How has his development gone in terms of what fans in St. Louis and really what the team expects of him? Has he moved along fast enough, or is there still some room where Sam needs to step into it in order to be the Sam everybody thought they were going to get?
Yeah, I still think most people are waiting for a breakout series of games. Here's the problem, guys. He has not had commensurate talent around him. The problem is last year they were completely ravaged on the offensive line, and this year it's kind of been the same thing. They lost the center, Scott Wells, week one. They lost Roger Saffold, week two. They're going to come back, but they've been plugging in journeymen here in 60% of their offensive line. So his protection, although it's been better, it hasn't been locked down. It's not like what Tom Brady sees on every Sunday. And then they don't have, you know, you can only rebuild your football team so much in 1 year, and they haven't really addressed the explosive need for playmakers outside the numbers. And Danny Amendola is his best friend, and he is a Wes Welker type. This kid's a tremendous football player, but He got hurt in the Thursday night game in week four or week five. He's going to be out for a few more weeks. So what I see from Sam is a ton more pocket presence, more pocket awareness, moving the pocket, sliding to where he has a throwing lane. All that stuff has improved. I think he's starting to become very accurate. He's hooked up with Chris Givens on some deep balls in recent weeks. But this offense will not take a step forward, a big step forward, until the offensive line play improves and the ability to stretch the field consistently outside the numbers improves. In other words, they still have to get Sam Bradford a lot more weapons.
Well, to that end then, as far as this week is concerned, do you feel like there will be still too much of a reliance on Steven Jackson? How else do they spread it around? Who, without Amendola, as you already mentioned, who probably sees more of the targets when they've got to throw the football?
Well, that's a huge void, and they've not been able to overcome it. They weren't able to overcome it against Green Bay as far as somebody stepping in for in Danny's role. The kid that's kind of emerged is Chris Givens. He has a 50-yard catch.
Right.
In four straight games, and he can stretch the field vertically. He's not a consistent.
He might have one in another game
on Sunday. It's possible.
I hope so. But you mentioned Steven Jackson. This guy has performed admirably. I mean, admirably. He's one of seven guys with seven straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
And he's never seen a cover two defense in his life. He sees eight, sometimes nine guys stacked in the box. Now this year, his role's reduced a little bit. They've gone kind of with a thunder and lightning kind of approach. His carries really have been cut in half. He hasn't been healthy. Early in the year, he had a groin strain. I think he's healthy now. But this seventh-round pick, a younger, faster, quicker version of Steven, this Daryl Richardson, has emerged, and they play him a lot. Mm-hmm. So Steven's role has really been reduced. He's no longer the guy, the only guy that can drive this thing. So he's not had a breakout game. He's not had a 100-yard game yet. If that happens, that'll go a long way to opening things up for Sam.
Richardson's over 5 yards a carry, right?
He's about 5 yards a carry. He's been dynamic. He's been terrific. He opened a bunch of eyes in preseason from Abilene Christian. His brother, Bernard Scott, also from Abilene, plays with the Bengals. This kid runs hard. He's only about 198 pounds, but he'll run through tackles. He's very quick. They like his explosion, and they're not afraid to play him. And now he's starting to pick up blitzes on third down. So that's just going to get him on the field even more often. So, again, that's one of the young kids they drafted. They haven't been afraid to throw in, and he hasn't disappointed at this point.
Well, the other guy that I had to mention here, and you don't often talk about guys like this, but it's Greg Zuerlein, your kicker, because, you know, he's obviously a young guy. He's got, you know, the soccer background, so I know that, you know, probably going over to London is going to be really, literally a big kick for him. But he seems to be the kind of guy that can be a difference maker for you in close games.
He's stupid good, guys. I mean, this kid... The sky's the limit. Last year, he kicked at a Division II school, but last time I checked, the uprights are still measured the same in Division II. 9 for 9 from beyond 50.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
The Rams drafted him. The minute they drafted him, they decided to cut ties with Josh Brown.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher's not been afraid to go with a rookie place kicker, rookie punter. This kid, up until Miami, was perfect. He's already set an NFL record by hitting 5 from 50 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even halfway through the season yet.
It's impressive.
This kid,
really impressive.
We watch him in practice, and he literally connects from 60, 68 on a regular basis.
Wow.
You know, Jeff Fisher in Miami 2 weeks ago tried to win the game, let the clock run down with a 66-yarder. The kid hit the net. Unfortunately, the wind was swirling, and he pushed it left.
Oh.
But he's 17-20 on the season.
Wow.
And I think now he's 4 of 6 or 5 of 6. He's 5 of 7 beyond 50.
He hit the net from 66?
He hit the net from 66 on grass outside in a swirling wind.
Wow. Sounds to me, he might get a shot at Wembley. He just might get a shot.
I think he might. And, you know, we got two nicknames here. Greg the Leg.
I like Legatron. Yeah.
Legatron.
I like Legatron.
He's my personal favorite. But
yeah.
He's been a blast, and then the other impact is the touchbacks. The Rams had 13 touchbacks all of last year. They already have 19 right now. So the sky is the limit for the kid, and Jeff Fisher has ultimate confidence.
Boy, that would be amazing, John, to see, and Steve, to see a rookie break the NFL record for longest field goal.
It's going to happen.
This Sunday. It could happen this Sunday.
It's got to happen eventually. I think we all realize that we've been dancing around finally beating 63 yards for years now.
Yeah.
You know, especially with,
Well, it's just that you don't get the opportunity
often. Yeah, but when
you
have somebody that can obviously kick from distance with accuracy like Zuerlein can, I would not have any qualm at all about putting him out there, and obviously Steve Fisher's already proven that.
Right.
No, well, guys, he's I think he's one of two guys in the history of the game to have kicked a 50-plus yarder and a 60-plus yarder in the same game.
Same game, right.
And so he's already been good from 60. Mm. And I'm telling you, we all are waiting for the – now, it's got to be the right – it's got to be the, you know, the end of a game,
yeah,
or the last play of,
yeah,
the half.
Yeah, the half, right.
You don't want to turn the ball over at midfield,
right,
or even beyond. But the 66-yarder, I'm watching this from the booth, and with my partner, DeMarco Farr, I'm trying to do the quick math here because I've never seen an attempt from that far deep in the field.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and
I think you're,
you,
I think you're
he
right.
He hit net, guys. He hit net. He had some yardage to spare.
The only other comparable one that I can recall is the high school kid a couple of weeks ago who hit from 67. What was it, down in Texas?
Yeah,
or
it was
somewhere?
In Texas, yeah.
Who, that was a monster kick in itself.
Pretty
but
monster.
Now, something to consider, though. It's going to be really cold and possibly wet on Sunday in London,
right.
Sunday night. I don't know how well he can kick in those kind of elements, but...
The problem is, and this has been the Rams' problem, the problem is we're sitting here and we're excited about field goals, and that's the Rams' problem.
Because
kicking way the hell too many field goals. I mean, the game at Miami was ridiculous. They had 294 yards in the first half and only had 6 points.
Wow.
So they missed an opportunity to blow the Dolphins out of the water early. This has been the same story. It's not a good red zone offense. Something happens to blow up a drive. So it's great and it's fun. And it's allowing Jeff Fisher to at least put some points on the board. But until this offense learns to finish what it starts, I mean, we call it the roaring 20s because they're great between the 20s, but they can't finish. And field goals against last week against the Packers, not going to win a game. And we all know field goals against the Patriots, not going to win on Sunday.
I like that. I got to write that down, the roaring 20s. That's a good one. I really like that. Steve, when do you depart for London?
Bright and early tomorrow morning.
All right. Not too far before most of the Patriots go. Now, as the home team in the field, I know the team obviously left and got there on Tuesday, I guess it was.
Or Tuesday
was
morning.
It? Yeah, Tuesday morning, yeah. Right? So it took the overnighter and everything. Now, do you have anything special to do? Will you kind of jump in where everybody is or pick things up? Or
I've got double duty. I work for the CBS affiliate,
right,
sports director here for the last 20 years, so
right,
they're going to work my – you know, we only get two games a year in the CBS package with the Rams.
Right.
And this is one of them. So
my
news director is in a comatose state when it comes to sports most days.
Yeah.
And then
like most news directors,
when they get the opportunity to run some programming and make some money now, they want pre, post. I've got Friday night, I've got a 10 o'clock sports live shot, St. Louis time, which roughly translates to about 4:20 AM London in front of Buckingham Palace.
Nice.
So my wife's going. I'm just going to turn her loose and tell her I'll see her Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like it. Because
I got radio and TV duty. But you know what?
Yeah, you'll still be on States time.
Yeah. I'm glad the Rams pulled out of the next 2 years because it sent the wrong message to the fan base for 3 years in a row to go to London and take a home game away when you're trying to get a lease issue worked out at the Edward Jones Dome. And the only unfortunate thing about this is the Rams have lost the true home field advantage, which would be nice against a team like the Patriots.
Certainly understand that, and that, of course, is the drawback to playing these kind of games. The Patriots love to go. They just don't want to ever be the home team.
The other drawback, too, is that we were rumored to be playing the Jaguars in this London
game, right.
And I've never been to St. Louis, and I was really looking forward to going to both London and St. Louis this year.
So you got London out of the deal.
So I do get London, and I'm not certainly not unhappy about that, but I would have loved to have gone to St. Louis and experienced that. I've never been.
Well,
there
the
before.
Next time you're in St. Louis, hopefully it's been in the last few years, 15 and 65 over 5 years. It's been a little bit docile and tame at the Edward Jones Dome. Hopefully that's starting to change. Hopefully the next time you are in St. Louis, you're going to hear it like it was in the days of the greatest show on turf when you can't hear yourself think.
Yeah, that's when you really like football, no question. Steve, thanks for spending so much time with us. We sure appreciate it. Safe travels, and we'll look forward to checking with you again on down the line.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Take care, Steve. We'll see you over there.
Steve Savard, who's the voice of the St. Louis Rams on 101.1 FM in St. Louis.
You've been there before?
To
St. Louis?
St. Louis, I have. It's been a few years. Have not been to the Edward Jones Dome. I've been about every other venue they've got there, including Busch Stadium. But I have not been to the Jones Dome. Just seen games inside of it, and I've been there several times. Been to London once. It's seen all the touristy stuff that there is to see.
When did you go for that?
This was for a family wedding about four or five years ago. It was
a destination wedding, or was it? Oh, really?
Well, it was actually, believe it or not, the wedding was in Hull. Hull City.
Hull City?
Yeah. And because that's where they were, you know, from up there. But we went early, stayed in London, did the hotel, did the touristy thing, and then we took the train north about 3 hours, I guess it is, from London to Hull City, and then stayed there. Saw, you know, a soccer match.
Did you?
Saw Hull City.
Hull City?
Yeah, I saw Hull City. But they were a Division II team at the time.
Yeah.
So they have been in the Premiership, I believe, since that time. But we went and saw Hull City.
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Supporter, I should say. Arsenal supporter. And they're playing QPR on Saturday at the Emirates.
Really?
But
you got to go check that out.
I know. I might just go to like the pro shop and just like be there on game day, just see what the atmosphere is like. But I'm pretty sure it'd be impossible to get a ticket at this point. But would love to go see a Premier League match.
That would be cool. Definitely have to go see a Premier League match. If I were going on this trip, that would be my one big thing to do, because it's the one thing I missed out on when I went before.
Yeah.
I did.
I would
the other
really
stuff.
Love to see it.
By the way, if you have a chance to go into the London Eye,
oh, I did it last time.
You did go do it?
Yeah.
Okay, that is pretty cool.
Oh, it is very cool. I got some great pictures,
because when you're way
too.
Up top of the London Eye, I mean, you can see forever.
Yes, and I have pictures from there, because the glass was clear enough that I took some excellent pictures.
Correct.
It's
amazing, the view. So,
anybody who's afraid of heights, I mean, really, the pod is enormous. You can fit like a dozen people in these
you
things.
You don't feel
and
like...
And it doesn't feel like it's moving ever.
Mm-mm.
You know,
it's pretty cool.
It's definitely worth it.
Pretty cool. All right, so there you go. UK Pats fans, if you're listening, I want to hear from you. We need to know what the buzz is on the other side of the pond about the Patriots and the Rams coming over. So make sure, number one, you email us, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And if you don't want to originate the call, you hit me up on my Facebook page, which is John.Rook, okay, R-O-O-K-E. Hit me up on Facebook with a number to call, and I will have Kevin do it. All right, just send me a message. You can send me a private message, and I'll have Kevin call you on the line, and we'll first come, first served on that one, because we won't take the time to call everybody. But we do want to get some perspective from UK Pats fans, because we know we have a very large group there, and
we've got
a huge fan group, and guys that follow, you know, PFW guys and all that stuff. So we want to make sure that you are involved with our programming this week, and let us know what you've got set for, you know, tailgating and, you know, all the pregame festivities before the game on Sunday. That's a huge part of it. And, of course, you can hit us on the Twitter account as well, @JRook0722. Is the Twitter account. All right, let's recap. We'll regroup. We'll take a timeout. Then we want to get to your phone calls. We want to get to your emails. I do have a question to toss out at you. But right now, UK Pats, got to hear from you. Any other questions on your mind? We got some things to toss about. So fire them off. Get them to us. Ready, set, go.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Along with Patriots Football Weekly's Eric Scalavino, Patriots Playbook for Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Thanks again to Steve Savard, the voice of the St. Louis Rams, for joining us. And he leaves for London tomorrow morning. You leave for London with the rest of the team tomorrow afternoon, right?
Afternoon. We leave the stadium late in the afternoon. By the time we actually wheels up,
it's... Are you skipping out on me tomorrow?
No. I'll be able to join you.
Okay. Good.
For my usual hour.
Excellent. And then you guys basically do the overnight thing.
We do the red-eye thing overnight. We arrive... I think we get to the hotel around 9 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
Nice. Nice. And then you're ready, and you basically hit the ground running.
Well, yeah, we have some press conference-type work to do for that first hour that we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're kind of on our own, which is the way Bill has structured the trip this year. It's the same as far as when we leave and when we return.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, he gave the players Monday off and started work on Tuesday. So as our listeners know, the NFL work week is Wednesday through Sunday, or Wednesday through Monday, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But Tuesday is the normal day off. They switched it this week, gave the players Monday off, and started work on Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is your Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So when we get there on Friday in England, it's basically an off day for the team. and then they'll do their regular Saturday on Saturday as they would for any other home or road game. The idea being, like last time we got to the hotel, got maybe 2 hours of quick sleep, and then the players turned around and got suited up and went out to practice at a cricket stadium called the Brit Oval.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a regular Friday-type practice, but with the...
By the way, I don't understand cricket at all.
I've never.
I think
really
it's interesting to watch.
It's very interesting to watch, but
I don't understand it.
No, I'm with you there. But I think this time, having done that the last time, where they got there, were jet lagged, and then had a practice. Now mm-hmm. they won the game 35-7.
Right.
But I think having learned the lesson of how they felt, or maybe just the way the work week progressed.
Yeah.
They decided to do everything here, get all the heavy lifting done here,
right. And then
get there and then just sort of ease into the game, which I think is a good way to do it. If you're not going to spend the whole week there like the Rams are,
if the Patriots were the home team, then they would probably have to be there for the NFL, I would think.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think there are some things that the NFL is asking them to do.
Right.
I mean, I know the Rams did clinics with school kids.
Yes,
and
they did.
All
they
that
did
stuff,
the play so. 60 event
yeah,
yesterday.
Play 60 event, right.
After just showing up yesterday, mm-hmm. within an hour they were on the bus and going.
Right.
Yeah. So, doing it this way, I think, is more beneficial for the players for their physical well-being.
Right.
And as far as mental preparation, it never hurts to have a little bit of downtime in a new city. I mean, I think for morale, I think that can do quite a bit, actually, to boost how the players feel. And certainly for the staff, who don't have to have a whole lot to do when they're there either.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
By the way, Barry on Facebook posted this on the UK Patriots fans page on Facebook there. And I, you know, got a copy of it here because he included me on the Facebook post. But he says, Patriots Playbook is on right now. John Rook is looking for UK callers to talk about the excitement of the game in London. Events going on and so forth. Show started 40 minutes ago. Goes for 2 hours total. But the sooner the better if you can call in. Come on, Barry. Step up to the plate. That's all I'm saying. Step up to the plate.
Yeah.
We did get, by the way, a very nice Facebook post from, as I mentioned, Ben earlier, who says he's near Norton, UK. And he sent a tremendous picture of the, I guess it's the fan rally in Trafalgar Square from last year is what I'm guessing it is. But he says, hi, John, UK Pats fan, really excited to be seeing the Pats in London again this weekend. This photo is what will be Trafalgar Square will be like on Saturday when there's an NFL fan rally. 40,000 fans expected to attend. This annual game in our country has almost become our own Super Bowl. It is great that the NFL is serving its global fan base and something our Premier League should consider rather than just giving their overseas fans a meaningless preseason game. Which I happen to agree with.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to you and all the Patriots.com crew. You really do keep us overseas fans in touch with our Pats team. You are certainly welcome for that. And by the way, that's what I would like to see. We do get, you know, friendlies and we get preseason games from the Premiership over here because we've hosted some right here at Gillette Stadium. In the past. But you were mentioning, you know, wanting to go see your favorite team, Arsenal, and mm-hmm. Stan Kroenke,
yes.
who is the owner of the Rams, owns that team.
He does. That's right.
It's too bad you couldn't get together a little Arsenal-Liverpool action, because then it could be Stan Kroenke against John Henry of the Red Sox.
That's true. Have another Boston-St. Louis type
connection. Boston-St. Louis connection if
yeah.
Arsenal plays Liverpool.
Yeah.
Anytime they play,
anytime,
it's a Boston-St.
Sure.
Louis connection.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Some Red Sox fans would argue that all the funds went to Liverpool.
You know, I should have. Seriously, I know. I should have asked Steve if he could, you know, maybe ask Mr. Kroenke to hook me up with a suite or something at the Emirates.
Should have.
I didn't even think of it.
You didn't even think. See, you're not thinking.
No,
quick enough.
I'm not. I'm jet lagged already.
Well, see, if you want to see the picture of the NFL fan rally in Trafalgar Square, just go to the Facebook page and you'll be all set. And again, if you're not a friend on Facebook and you want to do that with us, then it's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and submit the friend request, and then we'll take care of you. We'll answer that, and then we can chat and post and do all kinds of things in season and even out, because that's one thing I do love about the Facebooking aspect of it here, because it's my own personal Facebook page. I don't mind sharing it, because I consider if we're all fans, then we're all friends in some form or fashion. We share a common bond, if you will. But it's a great way to stay in touch even in the off season, so it's kind of cool. Let's see. Oh, Tim just sent this on Facebook. He said, make sure Eric and the boys change their clocks Saturday night. It's a week earlier
yes.
than it is here in North America.
That's correct.
I know Bill's history of clock changing.
Yeah, we did that actually. Well, last time we were there, the U.S. hadn't moved the clock turning on, so it was still in October.
Yeah.
And we actually, the weekend before we went to London, we changed the clocks, got an extra hour sleep. When we got to London, we changed them again. So 2 weekends in a row, we got an extra hour sleep, which was nice.
Ah.
So it will happen again this time, only it'll be reversed. We'll get the extra hour in London, and then when we come home, we'll get an extra hour.
Okay. Oh, Barry, who posted to the UK Pats fan, says, I'm not from there.
Oh, that's Barry okay. Insion.
Yes, yes. But
yeah,
he says
he's from the other side
of
the coast.
Yes, he's from the left coast, and he's taking the 10.5-hour flight to
God
the game,
bless you.
Apparently. Wow, Barry.
There's a direct from San Diego to London?
I don't know. Now, I would imagine you can't go across the continental U.S. You probably have to go the other way, right?
I don't see why. Well, if it's 10 hours, then yeah, that's probably what he's doing.
Right.
He's probably doing a cross-continental.
Oh, coming across?
Coming across the U.S.
The U.S.?
Probably, yeah. if it's that long.
Yeah, that's true.
Flight.
I didn't think about that. You know, the Pacific Ocean is pretty expansive.
Right. And then you'd have to go all the way across Asia. And,
yeah.
You know, it's...
All right, that does make sense. That does make more sense. All right. That's cool. Yeah, he says L.A. to London. That's what he's doing. He just sent it.
Oh, L.A.
to
London.
He's going L.A., L.A., Los Angeles
direct,
to London.
Direct, huh?
Yeah.
That's a long flight.
That is a long flight. How do you survive a flight like that?
Well, if it's... Well, it depends what time it is.
I've heard that flights from the East Coast like to, you know, Sydney in Australia, and I've got some Australian
24-hour type flights.
That's a real haul. You know, that's like one of the longest hauls you can even take.
For a flight like that, I would really, really save up for a while and get myself the best seat I can. Like
No question. You'd have to go first class.
Get the most comfortable seat
you
can.
You want to fly flight coach. No, you want to fly coach.
No,
definitely not.
It's worth saving up for a flight that long, I think. But that's how you, I mean, like when we went to Seattle, going out there was a 6-hour flight, 5:45, something like that.
This is starting to get funny because on the UK Pats fan, after Barry's plea for callers, here's one named Graham who says, too drunk to talk sense. The happy hour's already started. The pubs are open. Well, they are.
I think I've met Graham. He might be too sober to make sense, too.
Okay. Wow. Love it. That's great. Now, so the time difference now then is 4 hours, but it will be 5 hours?
No, it's 5 hours now. It will be four.
It will be four. So it's going, that's right, turning back, fall back.
Kickoff.
Yeah, right.
Last time we played, kickoff was at 6 p.m. London, 1 o'clock East Coast.
And now it's 5
it's
o'clock
It's going to be 5
London,
o'clock London, 1,
1
o'clock
East Coast.
Coast.
Okay. Interesting. All right, I got a question for you, and this sort of tails in with not only, you know, our talking about the Rams and such for this week, but also with our Nitpick Tuesday programming, which, you know, yesterday, obviously, there were a lot of nitpicks about, you know, the game, certainly on Sunday with the Jets, the fact the Patriots did win the game, but there still is some cause, I think, for at least relative concern when it comes to dealing with the current, state of the New England Patriots overall. I'm curious as to your point of view and whether or not, well, I'll let you ask it because you came up with the question, E, so I'll let you ask the question and maybe you can explain how you arrived at it.
Are you a believer in Josh McDaniels?
Yeah. And we asked the question because obviously Josh, and we didn't get a chance to jump into this with Steve Savard a little while ago, but clearly, as most Pats fans know, Josh spent last year as an offense coordinator with the Rams after, you know, being dumped by Denver and before he came back to New England. And some of the criticism that we started to hear again yesterday, and we started to hear a little trickle of it a couple of weeks ago, I think, maybe even after the Arizona game, to be honest with you. But there is some criticism and some nitpicking, if you will, of Josh's play calling. And that maybe some of the things he's calling has to do with some of the inconsistencies we're seeing late in games when the Patriots are unable to put teams away thus far.
Yeah, when their offense is clicking, it's when they're balanced. When they're running the ball as much as they're throwing the ball, when they're mixing in those play calls, that's when they're scoring points, that's when they're moving the ball, that's when they're the most effective. When they're least effective, it seems, and it's sort of a contradiction here, you know, based on Tom Brady's history, is at the end of games when they need to close out and need to hold on to leads, the four-minute offense, as it's now called.
Mm-hmm.
So are you a believer? Is this Patriots team more the balanced – high-scoring team that we've seen for part of the season, or is it the insecure, can't hold on to a lead at the end of the games, and is that a result of McDaniel's play-calling style? So that's why I was thinking, This week's question would be, are you a believer in him and his system and his style?
All right, so there you go. Your thoughts on Josh McDaniels. And if you are a believer, why? If you are not a believer, why? Just tell us why. I mean, certainly if all you have time for is a yes or no answer, that works. But if you have chance for a why, tell us why you are or you are not still a or yet a believer in Josh McDaniels and running this Patriots offense.
And not just the Patriots offense, but do you see him as a potential successor
to Bill Belichick? Any concern over that at all? Or do you feel like he's the kind of guy that, you know, certainly could get the nod? And I will tell you right now, I still think that he will be considered heavily to be Bill Belichick's successor, provided he doesn't get another head coaching opportunity prior to that. I'm not sure he will.
Or that he might want to go anywhere else.
He might want to stay here, realizing
he knows
this might
where
be
his bread is buttered. And
this might be his best opportunity to get back in and achieve at a high level. Let's keep in mind now that Belichick...
Kind of like Bill.
I was just going there. Kind of like Bill Belichick with his learning experience in Cleveland.
He had more time to learn in Cleveland than Josh had in Denver, but the same principles.
Yeah, same
in,
principle.
In play here.
And I frankly can see that scenario unfolding. And I don't know if that alarms you as a fan or not, but I can see it. It doesn't mean I agree with it, but I can certainly see it. You can email at the program, webradio@patriots.com. Be the easiest way to get us your comments, or if you want to fire away on the phone, the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook and at JRook0722 is the Twitter feed. Ready, set, go. Your thoughts on Josh McDaniels. So, what else are you looking forward ready to do in London?
It's a long list, my friend. It's a long list.
Give us something that's realistic, though.
I mean, something that's realistic to
do? That you think you'll be able to accomplish.
I'd like to say, and the weather looks like it's going to cooperate for this. When I was there last time, I got a lot of daytime shots of London. A lot of daytime imagery because the weather was actually very helpful for us back then, too. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go on a nighttime photo excursion.
Yeah, that would be fun, I would think.
And that's very doable, I think. I didn't get to ride the tube. I didn't do the underground.
Oh,
I didn't mind the gap last time.
That's the easy part.
I know. I didn't get a chance to do it last time, though. So I'm going to purchase myself an Oyster card, and I'm going to tool about the city
My 12-year-old son, he was 12 at the time, by the second day, he had the London Underground figured out.
Oh, it's easy. It's the same as any other subway system.
But, I mean, it's insanely easy.
Of course it is. I mean, any metro subway system in the world is basically the same. You have colored lines with stops, and the line starts at one point, ends at another, and whatever direction you're going in, it's all
his mother and I at the time we turned over the navigation of it to him, mm-hmm. so he knew which station we had to get off and what line to be on, and we took the tube all over.
That's how I got around Paris too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was doing that, and it's just that our first time there, we had some transportation provided for us in the form of vehicles. So the places we needed to go, we either got in there or we went by foot because it was close enough. But I'd like to do the tube experience while I'm there this time around.
Yeah, you got to give that a go.
And especially at night, you know, trying to get – I did this in Paris, too, to get the nighttime shots as quickly as possible around the city,
mm-hmm.
is do that. I'd also like to do, like I said earlier, go to Borough Market. And I just got a very nice tweet from our friend Kat in Chicago who highly recommends – a couple of places within the market to do, which I'm going to try.
Kat just started following me on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, I know. She followed me first.
I know.
I told her you'd be jealous.
I am jealous. I am jealous. Gee, thanks, Kat.
I'm trying to get her to change the egg avatar, though.
We
need the naughty librarian photo.
We need a photo. Naughty librarian?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because you didn't meet her when she was here again.
She looks like a naughty librarian.
She looks like Rick.
John is jealous.
That's serious.
She embraces it, too.
She looks like the naughty librarian?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't need to know that.
She's getting mad at me right now. I can hear her. I can hear it already.
I don't want to know this. Kat, I'm trying to keep it above board here. Just for your own benefit. Well, I'm appreciative of the follow anyway, so thank you for that. Appreciate that. So there you go. Sammy sent me a note. He goes, greetings from over in London on Twitter. Would love to come on the show to give a perspective from a UK patriot. Let's make it happen. Pick up the phone, Sam, or let me know how we can get a hold of you. Happy to do it. So there you go. Say, all right, so a couple of them already coming in as well. Love to talk to some UK Pats fans. I think that, you know, the one thing you have to keep in mind if you're trying to look at this from a pure football perspective, and obviously we can kind of tend to lose sight of the fact here is that you need to win a game. You'd much rather be 5-5 than 4-4, 5-3 rather than 4-4 going into your off week. But as Steve,
I don't think anyone had them going 4-4.
No. No, and then I think you'd have to say that it would be cause for some serious introspective looking at yourself. That's sort of redundant.
Yeah,
but that's
a little department redundant. Of redundancy
yeah,
department.
But you'd definitely be taking a good solid look at yourself at 4-4, wondering what in the heck are we doing wrong here if you manage to lose this game on Sunday.
Yeah, especially to a team that you're supposed to
beat. Yes.
That was
and we
quotes.
Did hear from Steve Savard earlier that clearly in offense the Rams still do have some issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I mean, without – I mean, if Danny Amendola is your best receiver and he's not playing. Now we should touch on,
he did,
on this.
Yes, he did appear in practice.
Very limited basis.
Limited basis today
according
in
to,
London. Yes.
Yeah, I was. I follow this week Jim Thomas of the Post-Dispatch, who's over there, and said that Amendola was there for practice, and then according to the team, he was very limited in what he could do. Sam Bradford even said on the on the conference call that they had earlier today, that he was surprised, shocked even, that Amendola was able to go out there at all. Head coach Jeff Fisher stressed that it was very, very limited, and they still probably don't anticipate that he'll be available for this game. It's probably more likely after the bye.
Interesting.
But it's always good news when you have a player coming back early from injury, like when Aaron Hernandez started practicing earlier than I think some people expected, and maybe returned earlier than some people expected. But having said that, now they're relying on guys like Chris Givens and you know, younger players at that position. Now, Givens is making big plays, and against this secondary, as we were joking with Steve, not really joking, he could extend that to, what did he say, it was four games with a catch of 50 or more?
Right.
It's going to be four or five, whatever that number is this weekend, if the terrible
Although
trend
I do
continues.
Like, yeah, but I do like the fact that they played more man this last week, or, you know, in theory, I guess that keeps them from getting burned over the top because their cover two clearly was not working.
No.
The zone wasn't working.
No. But, again, like I should tell you last year, show me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, show me.
You're
That's
in the
right.
show. You're in the
I'm,
show me
I
mode
am in
right
the show
now.
Me mode. I'm definitely in the show me mode. I'm the only one that really thought that the Jets had a chance to win the game.
They need to get some pressure on Sam Bradford. If they can attack that offensive line and
well,
get and
the
disrupt
line
him, because
has had some problems, as Steve told us earlier. They've been kind of a makeshift unit in front of Bradford.
Right. They actually just cut one of their starters, Quinn Ojanaka, who was with New England.
Yeah. Syracuse Orange.
Syracuse guy.
Yep.
And so now they have even more moving parts there on that offensive line. Not much consistency there. So if they can get some pressure on Bradford, force Steven Jackson to try to carry the load, we know that they've been pretty good against the run.
Right.
So if they can jump out to a nice little early lead and then maybe get some pressure on Bradford, maybe the game's over like it was with the Bucs game three years ago.
Okay. Update on our practice today?
Yeah. Some good news in that Logan Mankins was practicing.
That is good
after
news.
Not playing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Connolly was out there after playing one series.
Any thoughts, by the way, as to why Logan missed the game? Do we know any specifics?
Knowing only how tough a guy he is and how prideful he is on not missing things, he must either really be hurt, A, or B, the coaches are being very
cautious,
with him against his will. Something tells me it's more B than A.
Really?
Yeah.
They just don't want to throw him back out there and risk.
I have no doubt that he's playing hurt. No doubt about that whatsoever. But I think he would, given the choice, would rather play hurt than be cautious with himself.
Well, as we all know, there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured.
Correct.
And they're trying to keep him from being really
injured.
More injured. Okay.
Right. But he's out there practicing. And last week he missed a day. I believe it was this day, actually, which would have been a Thursday of last week that he missed. So the fact that he's playing on a Thursday/Wednesday is a good sign, albeit on a limited basis.
All right.
Bad news, Gerard Mayo, who got hurt the end of the first half but then came back out with what was diagnosed as a left shoulder, I believe. Was that the – I believe that's what it was.
Okay.
But he had a wrap on his left elbow. Any event, he played the second half. Wasn't out there for the start today, which most likely means he wasn't there at all. which is not good news. Aaron Hernandez was out there on a stationary bike the entire time that we were allowed to see it, so I don't know. He'll obviously be limited, but to what extent? Don't know, and I don't know why he was on the bike, because that looked like that's either more of a
conditioning,
conditioning or like muscle cramp relief type of thing.
Right.
So that's unclear. Like hamstring possible, you know, like when Dont'a Hightower hurt his hamstring in Buffalo, the first thing they made him do after they tested it was get on the bike and try to
work on him,
work it out. So I don't know. I mean, that was at the very start of practice, so unsure there. Steve Gregory, still not practicing. It's been several weeks now. Rozai Dowling's hurt again. Brandon Bolden remains out.
Yeah.
And Tracy White, still a no-show at practice. Did see him in the locker room walking what looked like normally to me. And Trevor Scott, who was hurt hamstring in the end of the Jets game, was not out there either. So, yeah, they're not perfectly healthy, but one other bit of good news, Vasante Shenko.
Was back yesterday, right?
He was there for the walkthrough, but this was an actual practice, and he was in uniform.
Okay.
So he is now... He's not eligible to play. He's IR designated for return,
right,
which means he can start practicing but can't play till after week 8.
After week
which
8.
Means we're not getting him till after the bye at the earliest.
Right, because obviously he's got a, you know, he wouldn't even be able to play this week because it's not, this is week
he's
8.
Not, yeah.
So, right. But Shenko could be back very soon, it would appear. As long as he's going through the motions, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, there's your practice report. Before we let you go though, we have to take care of one more bit of business, I believe.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Something tells me you love the intro more than you
I
love
do.
The actual words.
It's well done. Rob did a good
By
job.
By our boy Rob Schuler.
Yes, indeed.
Who was with us on a recent trip.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going. Is he going on this one, Kevin? No?
No. All right, word of the day, kid.
Word of the day, encomia.
Encomia.
Yeah, it was the plural of encomium. E-N-C-O-M-I-U-M.
Okay.
Encomia.
Spell
encomia.
It again.
E-N-C-O-M-I-A. Encomia.
Okay. Encomia.
Which is lavish and very high praise.
Hmm. So we have any encomia for
we
the Patriots?
We had encomia for our guest today,
Steve Savard. Yes,
who
was very good.
Did a very good job.
So we had
stepping in the playbook.
So using in a sentence, we had encomia for Steve Savard.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds awkward.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's not a word you it doesn't you know really roll off the tongue all that well, but
no, it doesn't.
But that's what it is. That's what it means.
I like it. It's a good choice. You rarely cease to amaze with the word of the day, so I will definitely give you that, my friend.
I try now. I try. After you said, you know, I try to stump you now more often than not. I try to make it as difficult as possible.
Yeah, I think I could have figured that one out in terms of the root.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'd had some Latin in your background?
Yes, I had. Well, I took, unfortunately, I took 2 years of Latin in college, so God only knows why. Thought I was going to be an attorney.
Did you really?
Then I realized how hard it really was. I came the other route. I can talk a good game.
They told you have to argue all your cases in Latin, and you said, "Oh, the hell with that."
I'm not doing that crap. No way. Absolutely not. All right, Big E. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
We'll see you here tomorrow.
We will.
And we'll get to
before
your...
Before we shove off.
Yeah, we'll get your take on the transatlantic flight again tomorrow, because I know you'll have all your bags packed. We may even have to go through Eric's bags tomorrow, just to check out and see what he's taking along.
No, I got to check those in with Virgin Atlantic before we get in the studio.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, take a picture then.
Take a photo. Tweet out a photo of
photo
luggage.
Of your luggage if it's going overseas.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. All right. We need to hear from you on Josh McDaniels, all right? I've gotten one or two responses. There's got to be more thought on Josh McDaniels than really what we've seen thus far. Do you have faith in Josh McDaniels? Do you believe he is either the answer or is he the problem with the Patriots right now and some of their stumbling on offense? Webradio at Patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We talked a little about this yesterday. Come on, guys. Get off the bench here and get into the game. If you have some thoughts on Josh McDaniels, whether or not he's the answer or he's the problem, do it now.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Back in the playbook as we're into hour number two of the program for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. Time for you to kind of take over the show and go here. The question we've asked is do you have faith in Josh McDaniels? It's that simple. In Josh, do you trust, or are we going a different direction with this? Realizing full well that Josh could certainly be a candidate to replace you-know-who when all is said and done. Now, that's not a given. It's not a certainty, but you know that might work into the equation, as we just talked about with Eric Scalavino a bit. So just curious your thoughts right now, based on the way this team has struggled to certainly put teams away, especially in offense, in their three losses this season. And I said yesterday on the program that largely I blame the offense more than I blame the defense for the shortcomings this past week against the Jets. Because this offense did not know how to put this team away. And it has struggled mightily. And I do believe part of the reason is because the pieces to the offense around Tom are not as mature as we would like them to be. I said that yesterday, and I've heard from several of you in various forms and that we communicate here on the program. For instance, Chad sent an email, and he goes, great analysis yesterday, by the way. The Rams are tough up front on the D-line, but, man, is this offensive line getting the job done? Talking about the Patriots offensive line. Solder and Vollmer, absolute rock. Solder is clearly reaching up to the Joe Thomas and Vollmer's level. So good matchup between their D-line and our O-line. You know what, I got to tell you, Quinn, really, it still somewhat concerns me here, as we were talking about earlier. I'd like to see our ground game and get more emphasis while Hernandez recovers. Looks like Vereen finally sees daylight and can play. There's one negative about this offense that I really wish they'd activated a fullback on the 53-man roster. Just occurred to me this team doesn't consider fullbacks anymore and hasn't for several years, which is true. And, you know, they had Lex Hilliard and then let him go, and the Jets picked him up. And we saw him run the ball a few times last Sunday for New York. I have a question for you. Pats have activated rookie Justin Francis on the 53-man roster since week one. They've played him on a couple of snaps those last few weeks. I wanted to know if you spotted the kid already. Honestly, no. The reason is that he's played, I think, in spot opportunities and special teams and really hasn't done much else. Gosh, has he even been active? I'd have to look back at the list of inactives to know how much he has or has not been active. So I'm not sure that I'm the one that can answer that. We'll ask that one of Eric. We'll keep that around for tomorrow and ask him that one as well and find out what the situation may be with that one. All right, to the phones. The Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Rod is in Atlanta. Hey, Rod, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. I have 100% confidence and faith in Josh McDaniels. And here's why.
Okay.
Well, we usually say that the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in town. Well, the coordinator, offensive or defensive coordinator, is usually the least popular in the first scapegoat in town. And I kind of compare him to a hitting coach in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember when Albert Pujols was struggling, and then they fired the hitting coach, and like that would magically make him do any better. And I think that for the New England Patriots, that's the role of an offensive or defensive coordinator, because I think it's all up to Bill. And if he's going to get the praise, then when things aren't going right, then he should... It should be on him.
Yeah, that's actually a very, very good point. you know, it's easy for us to do our nitpicks, and easy for us to blame, people that, you know, when we don't really have any inside knowledge and things aren't going and meeting our expectations, really, Rod. But at the same time, you are right. Most of the time, the head coach certainly, and I guess to a lesser extent, the coordinators are the guys that put the players in position to either fail or succeed. And so we ask the question because this team has not quite yet lived up to the expectations that we have for it, even though, hey, they're still at or near the top in all the offensive categories in the NFL through 7 weeks, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. And the team is 4-3, and the offense is sputtering, and they still lead statistical categories, points per game, for instance. So, the coordinators, the coaches, they're the ones that should take the blame, but only to an extent. Because it is also up to the players to execute. And when you do have veterans, and I'm pointing the finger squarely at Tom Brady here, when you have veterans who have done it for a number of years, then you expect certain amount of certainty. Again, redundant. I've been full of redundancies today. You expect certainty from a particular person. And if you don't meet that certainty, then it tells me one of two things. Either A, he doesn't care, or B, he's getting too old. And so I don't think the care part is a problem here. So is it the other problem? And if it is, we've still seen enough from Tom that we know he's capable. He's still considered, I think, an elite quarterback, and rightfully so, in the league. But it tells me that as a whole, we got to figure out a way to take advantage of the good days that we have left with him. And that means carpe diem and building this doggone thing up now and making sure that the play caller, in this instance, Josh McDaniels, is completely up to speed with the same idea. Otherwise, we're going to be looking back on history thinking, man, these were blown chances.
Well, I don't think he would be there if he weren't up to speed. I mean, his Bill is a no-nonsense guy, and he wouldn't have brought him in.
Well, then,
in fact,
why was he dumped from Denver? And why did St. Louis? I know they had a coaching change, but why did St. Louis say see you later? You know, I mean, so
it's because he's a crappy drafter, and he doesn't always get along with people. I think he has an attitude problem, and I've always thought that. And the whole color thing was a proof of that. But as a coordinator on a team where, you know, we have a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think his role is diminished by Bill Belichick. Now, just one more thing before I go.
Sure.
I think that the end result of all of the games that we have lost have been the same, but I think we've gotten there differently. You know, Seattle was the defense. Baltimore was basically one guy, Jason McCourty, you know, with the pass interference. And this last game, I just wonder how much differently we would be looking at it if Brandon Lloyd would have caught at least three of the eight balls that were thrown at him. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rod. That's actually, I think that's a fair assessment, because he did drop some balls that we thought he should have caught. In fact, we saw that he did have a chance to speak to some members of the media earlier today. And in fact, I'll read you his quote here. He says, the ball didn't stick as well as I like it to, but that's why we have such an accomplished group of pass catchers. If a guy isn't having the night that he would particularly like, there's other guys that can pick up the slack. Tom does a great job of finding receivers and continuing the positive plays. And then he didn't comment anymore. He just said, you try to do your best just to execute plays. Well, the execution is also in the completion of said play. And if the ball hits the hands, I've always been a critique of if you can touch it with your hands, you got to bring it in. If it's a catchable ball, you got to bring it in. There's no excuse. If the ball can hit you anywhere in the hands, or you can get your hands, your fingers in the ball, you got to figure out a way to pull it in. So, I mean, you know, he went to the ground, I think, for one of the first ones that Tom threw at him on Sunday, I mean, and it hit him right between the 8 and the 5 and bounced off his shoulder pads. It's almost like his hands got in the way. You can't do that. That can't ever happen. I mean, you're willing to let that go like once a season, you know, with a drop like that, because that's just a brain fart. And, you know, it's maybe you're looking upfield, or you see the opportunity for some daylight, or you're feeling somebody bearing down on your neck, and you turn to run before you catch it all the way in. And, you know, but I think you're allowed one of those a year. And we've seen a few of those now with Lloyd. So I just wondering. He hasn't quite been the threat I don't think that we think he should be. And I think I'm probably willing to put that on Brandon Lloyd more so than on Josh McDaniels, but it's still, you know, he's still a part of the mix. Josh still has to call the play or not call the play. It's still up to him. So the question of the day again is, do you have faith in Josh McDaniels, and why or why not? Let's go to Barry in Orange County. Barry, you're in the playbook. How are you?
Hey, good to hear. Good to talk to you, John.
Nice to talk to you. So now you're getting ready to make the transatlantic trip, right?
I am. We're going on a red eye tonight out of Los Angeles. It's a direct flight to Heathrow. It's about 10 and a half hours, as you already saw. So, yeah, it's not going to be real fun tonight. Although, when I checked our seating, it looked like there's a whole bunch of empty rows around us. So I'm actually hoping that we can each get a whole row and just kind of sleep the whole thing away.
Nice. Well, that would definitely be a bonus. If you can pull that off, that would definitely be. I was going to ask, you know, how are you going to spend the time on the 10 and a half hour transatlantic, and you got to go across the continental U.S. But it sounds to me like you don't have any problem sleeping on a plane.
Well, especially if I get a whole row, then yeah, that'd be easy. even if I just have to stay in my own seat, then you know I should be able to get at least a few hours of sleep.
Well, yeah, because I don't sleep well on planes, and if the shoulder rest, the elbow rest don't go up, then I'm in real trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so this will be a long one for sure. And this is actually my first trip to Europe, so I'm really pretty excited about it.
Oh, you got to be fired up. Now, how long are you going to stay?
We're going to stay in London till Tuesday. Then we're going to head to Paris using the Channel and stay there for 4 nights. So basically about a 10-day trip in total.
That's the way to do it. I just don't think that you can, and even though I live on the East Coast, it's a little easier, I think, in some instances for East Coasters to get to Europe just because of the time difference and not only the time difference but also the expense. But if you're going to go to Europe, you really got to do it to where you can see it. It's really not worth it to go for a couple days. You know, and I've been very fortunate in my travels and in my line of work that I've been able to do Paris a couple of times. I've done London extensively for a week. I've done Germany and Frankfurt, and you know, I've hit some of the big ones. There's still a lot of places I need to go and hit, but I've gone and managed to take the time each and every time for a week or more every time I've gone, and to me, that's really the only way to go because there's so much history. Obviously, and so much to see that affects us today and certainly affect us from many, many years ago, for decades and even centuries.
For sure. Yeah, there's enough. Yeah, we've been reading up a lot. We've been watching, you know, travel shows and getting all caught up on the big things to see while we're there.
Is there anything, Barry, on your bucket list you're going to get a chance to see?
You know, like I said, it's my first trip, so we're going to do all the usual stuff. We're going to, you know, changing the Buckingham Guard. London Eye,
yep.
Abbey Square,
yep.
Big Ben, some of the museums. So, yeah, I mean, I think right now we're probably just hit, you know, the usual touristy spots.
Yeah, you got to make sure though you take some time for the London Tower, the Tower of London, and also the Crown Jewels. You have to do that. Mm-hmm. The Crown Jewels are spectacular. They just are. So
yeah, I think we're planning to make that one of our morning visits because I think the lines get long. So there's I've been reading on TripAdvisor about some of the places that you want to hit early in the day before the lines, you know,
right.
keep you held up for a while.
No question.
Especially with all the events that the UK Patriots have planned. So that's going to keep us real busy, and we're really looking forward to this. Those guys are doing an excellent job. They're going to have some huge events, including the party on Saturday night, I think you guys were talking about, flag football game, that we're doing a private tour of Wembley Stadium on Friday morning. And then the tailgate on game day. So yeah, a lot of good stuff going on for Patriots fans that'll be out there.
You won't have any time to think about jet lag or get tired.
No, it's gonna be a tight schedule actually. So as far as all those events I just mentioned, there's two best ways you can find out more information for anybody else that is heading out there.
Good.
Is to go to ukpatriots.com and jump on their forms. You'll have to register, and then you can read through all the details of what's going on. Some of the events have already sold out, so they're full. Others, you can still join in, including the pub crawl on Friday afternoon.
Oh, I was just going to ask about that, because that's the one thing you have to do if you have the time, is to do a little pub crawl. You got to do it.
Yep, they've got it all planned out. They got about 5 pubs set up for Friday afternoon.
Sweet.
Throughout central London. So, yeah, that'll be a good time. And then the other place you can find out information for those that don't want to bother registering there is Facebook users can join Patriots Tailgate, which is the group that I run. And we kind of try and help facilitate, you know, or organize road green information, including this one. So even though I'm not directly involved in, you know, planning any of these events, we're happy to help pass on the word and get the word out to all the Patriots fans that are traveling to town for the game.
That's outstanding. All right. And give us the web address again. It's a Facebook page, right?
It's a Facebook group called Patriots Tailgate.
Okay.
So if you just search on that, you'll find it. You know, we got some great plugs right before the Seattle weekend because I was working with the Seattle group, and we had some huge parties up there that went great. We've been growing a lot lately, especially when the Patriots play in these places that the fans don't get to see them often, so they're not going to miss, you know, the opportunity. So, yeah, we've been getting a lot of momentum, and, yeah, we invite all Patriots fans, even if you're just going to one road game a year, whether it's next season or down the road, join Patriots Tailgate. You can find out what's going on because we're kind of networked with all of the local clubs. So regardless of where the game is, hopefully if there's anything going on, we'll know about it, and we'll be able to help you get all the details about it.
Outstanding, outstanding. All right, then, I got to ask you, though, the question of the day. Do you still have faith in Josh McDaniels?
I do. It's being tested, but as long as Belichick has faith in him, then so do I, because, that's just kind of my philosophy on, you know, we see what we see. We form our own opinions, but, you know, we don't know everything that's going on top to bottom. So, in Belichick, I trust is my general philosophy.
Well, I think it's interesting you kind of put it that way because I know that, and I'm sure if you've listened to the program at all, that people some fans seem to be wavering on their faith in Bill Belichick, largely because of his inability to evaluate proper talent in the secondary.
You know, if you could analyze any team, any coach, any franchise, and I don't think you're going to find anybody who has a great track record. I mean, you could find spurts of it where, you know, you get one draft and you get three Pro Bowlers or two Hall of Famers out of it. But really, if you get down to it, you're not going to find anybody who does it well enough, which just shows how difficult it is. You know, I mean, Arian Foster, you know, number one fantasy running back pick this season, undrafted. Brandon Bolden, doing great for us, you know, until injuries started hampering him, undrafted.
Yeah, good point.
And you go through a whole list of how many players were not even considered in the top 200 plus for teams to pick up after all of the time and resources they put into it. It's not a science. It's so far from it. It's just incredibly difficult. And and at the same time, a lot of the development probably takes place after the combine. A lot of it comes down to, you know, how that player's maturity develops and the coaching they're receiving and, you know, a whole lot of other factors that are just too difficult to quantify. That's why, it's so far from the science.
That's that's a pretty good take. Pretty level-headed, too, unlike a lot of Patriots fans I know, Barry.
Well, we follow it because we're passionate and emotional. So sometimes you have to fly off the handle to, you know, to release some of that frustration. But, I think that the true fans will always stick with the team regardless of three ups and downs.
Well, I hope that you and your fellow travelers, whoever it is you're going with, I hope you have the time of your lives. You deserve it, especially in a first trip to Europe that's very, very exciting. And I don't think you'll be disappointed by anything you see or do because it's always been exciting for me whenever I've had the opportunity to go. And I think that, you know, you will enjoy it immensely. And hopefully a win on Sunday will be a part of it.
Yes, that would But yeah, we're gonna have a good time regardless. But yeah, this has been in the works for several months now. And being that we're already checked into our flight and heading up to LAX right after work today, it's right on my heels. So really, really excited about it.
Safe travels, Barry. Check in with us when you get back. Let us know how it went.
Sounds good, John. Thanks a lot.
All right, Barry from Orange County, California, on his way overseas. 10.5 hours transit, you know, cross country and then transatlantic before getting into London. So that's a nice trip. Anybody else getting ready to make the trip as well? 508-298-0398 or send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. David sends this, an old England Patriot, he says, just listening to your broadcast, looking forward to the Patriots being at Wembley again. Have been supporting New England since 1975. So not just a, as he puts it, fine weather fan. I love the whole American football experience. I hope to get over next year to watch a game in the USA. Keep up the good work. Thank you, David, for the mention, and we appreciate your following us. Adam sends this. He says, guys, I'm traveling to the Jags game. One of you guys will be anywhere accessible for autographs or drinks with the fans. Also, is there a group of away game tailgating organizers through Patriots.com? Not so much through Patriots.com, but if you heard Adam earlier, if you go to the Patriots Tailgate Facebook page, again, just search it on Facebook, Patriots Tailgate. Then I believe you can make all the connections you need for everything that you would need in terms of tailgating and things that may be going on for the game in Jacksonville in December, right? Is it December? Are we playing them in Jacksonville in December? God, I'm totally...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm not sure of the date exactly, but...
Yeah, because I haven't had exactly Jacksonville on the radar, so I have no idea, and I don't have the schedule in front of me. But you can probably find that right here on the website if you just make a click or two. So, yeah, check that out on the Patriots Tailgate page on Facebook, and then you'll be able to update that. As far as accessible for autographs, drinks with fans, you know, things like that, usually it's Fred and Eric that travel. On the road games from the PFW crew now. So I know those two guys will be around. So you want to check back with us and make certain that they're going to be available. And maybe if there's a tailgate you're inviting them to, well, then you'll be there, right? And they'll be there, too, because they don't turn down free food and drinks. And that's usually the way it works. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. And hopefully one day we'll get a chance to take advantage of that. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Again, our question of the day has to do with Josh McDaniels. Gotten a couple of responses, but it's really been very tepid. So does that mean you don't care? I find that really incredible that you don't care. Because a lot of the complaints, and they came in yesterday and they've been starting out for a couple of weeks, has to do with the play calling. You didn't like it. If you don't like it, then why? Where is Josh McDaniels missing the boat? Or is he doing just fine in your estimation? And as Barry just told us, and Bill he trusts, so if Josh is his guy, then Josh is my guy. Really? Is that what we do around here now? We let the blind lead the blind. The emperor is not wearing any new clothes or anything. Really? New England fans, really? Do that? Boston fans, do that? Really?
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
In the home stretch now for Patriots Playbook here this afternoon, this note comes from Playbook. Mary Beth sends this on Josh McDaniels. I think that Josh McDaniels needs... from Facebook, rather, needs some work. Maybe he is just not familiar enough with the staff. We'll have to wait a while to judge if he will make a good successor. Obviously, that will depend on the talent acquired over the next few years. Also, a team is a combination of all the factors. That is an excellent point. I think that Josh McDaniels needs some work. Maybe he's just not familiar enough with his players. I guess I could buy that. I guess I could buy the players part before I'd buy the staff part, because as an offensive coordinator, you know, the staff underneath him usually has to adjust to him. So I can understand maybe the players, because again, you're talking about players, as we've already mentioned several times, that these are players that, you know, don't have a lot of maturity other than just a few choice veterans. This is still a very young football team, one of the youngest, maybe the youngest that Bill Belichick has ever coached. So that's why we're not getting a lot of consistency, and these players are having to learn new, even though Josh understands the past and understands the old and is trying to give that to them along the lines of also trying to develop something for the future. As we've talked about many times already this season, you're trying to turn from the five-wide, no-huddle, spread-it-out type of offense to one that utilizes the two tight ends, the two great young tight ends the Patriots have, with a running game that also features some speed and some ability to go between the tackles. And so you've got some potential weapons that you just haven't had here in the past. And you want to lock these guys up, which they have. And so how do we best take advantage of them? And so you kind of got a conglomeration of a lot of different things coming at you here. And that's why we asked the question, because there does seem to be some second guessing, not only from the media, not from the fans, from ourselves, from a lot of the fans, second guessing on, is this the best way to go for the Patriots right now? Offensive philosophy, plays that are being called, is it the best way to go? Is it utilizing the talent and the personnel that's out on the field right now? Well, certainly there's one guy that we know of that has all kinds of faith in Josh McDaniels' ability, and that's the quarterback of the Patriots, Tom Brady, and he did meet with members of the media a short while ago as the Patriots get ready to take off for London.
I mean, Coach Belichick does a good job preparing us for stuff like this. But it's really a road game. You know, we're leaving a few days early, just going the opposite direction. So I think it's going to be important to get there and kind of get used to the environment a little bit. But you know, we had a good day yesterday at practice. Got to have two more good days, and at that point, all the physical stuff will be done, and just go over there, rest up, and try to go out and play well.
Can chemistry be built on a trip like this, where you guys are going to be together so long and spend so much time together, where you can kind of hash out what's going on and what you'd like to do in the second half of the year?
I think there's definitely an element of that. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you're together for extended periods of time, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. You know, people are away from all their other commitments. Certainly, like a home game, there's a lot of commitments that different players have. So when you go away, sometimes it's really nice for the players to get some rest, to get some extra preparation, have extra time with your coaches. On this particular trip, we have more time than that. So, you know, yeah, Trafalgar Square and the Crown Jewels, or whatever the crown, yeah. So you can get everything. Huh?
Do you want to meet the royal family?
That is not the intent of this trip, no. Thank you. Don't want to get myself in trouble going to London.
Better stay away from Harry.
Yeah.
Tom, you personally use the bye week as any extra added motivation? I mean, you're obviously motivated every single week, but, you know, knowing that get through this, give everything you got that little time.
Yeah, well, the bye week, you know, that's something that everyone looks forward to, just because you get a chance to kind of take a deep. It's like the second half of a game. You go into halftime and you have a chance to, you know, reevaluate some things. So, but that'll come, and it would feel really good for that 2 week stretch to feel good about what we've done, you know, for the last 5 weeks. But they're going to make us earn it. I mean, this is a good team that presents a lot of tough challenges, and we've already lost to two of these NFC teams, which they've actually beat. So we know it's a good football team, and we have to go out there and play well.
How do the Rams use Cortland Finnegan? Does he flip on the slot guys, an outside check guy, or
yeah,
the number one, or who?
He's predominantly he's inside a lot, and he's at different spots on the inside. I think wherever they want him to, you know, assert himself in the coverage in order to have the most opportunities to make plays, that's where he's going to be. In regular defense, their base defense, he's outside. They don't match a ton, although they do flip sides on occasion. But for the most part, you know, against us, he'll probably be inside all day.
A guy you must hate to go against, but just having observed you, you probably have an appreciation for the way he plays.
I do. He's you know, he competes his butt off, and he's smart, catches the ball well. He's a seventh-round pick, so, you know, you just are always fighting for your life out there. And even though he's had a lot of success, you see it doesn't, you know, he wants to continue to get better and improve, and, you know, he's still a young player, so I have a lot of respect for him. He plays really hard, and, you know, it's like Wes is very much the same way. You know, Wes plays his butt off too, so it's kind of our strength, maybe against one of their strengths.
Tom, this streak that the offense is on, 16 straight games of at least 350 yards, what would be a key reason or two that's allowed you guys to have that kind of consistent success moving the football?
I'm not sure.
Scheme, personnel?
It's all those things. I mean, offensive football is about 11 guys being on the same page, so no matter what you call, you don't call plays that aren't designed to gain significant yards. So if you execute them the right way, they're productive. There's not a lot of negative plays. Like we had 80 plays last week. There were only two negative plays out of 80, which is pretty good. So if you're not going backwards and killing yourselves with penalties and turnovers and really not beating yourself, you can usually put yourself in a great position to win the game. So, you know, gaining yards is certainly important, but scoring points is more important. So you've got to be able to move the ball well enough to put yourself in the positions and then ultimately make the plays down in the red area.
Tom, on the travel to London, are you sort of conscious of the effort the NFL's making to expand the game, or are you just focused in on the Rams this weekend?
We're focused in on the Rams. I think that's their job, and we have a job to do. So, you know, I know they put a lot of effort into it, and I know Mr. Kraft's excited about us having the chance to really represent the NFL again, to go over there and you know, give the fans something to cheer about. So it was a lot of fun the last time.
So you'll be a fan, Beth?
No, sir.
Judging by the way you guys came off the field and in the locker room after your win, is it hard for the fans maybe to take the perspective of how difficult it is to win every single week, and if you win, you can take care of all the other stuff as the week goes on and fix the problems? In other words, is it a lot easier fixing everything when you continue to win and just put up W's?
Well, the win is important because you've only got 16 opportunities, and you can play really well for 58 minutes and then not play well for 2 minutes, and that's the game. So the important thing is the win or the loss, and you know, whether the fans, you know, how they appreciate that or not, that's not really our concern. I mean, we're trying to win every week, but whether you lose by 1 or 30 or win by 1 or 30, the record's the same. And really, the next week, it doesn't have any bearing on next week either. So part of the mental toughness is putting whatever's happened last week and moving forward to the next week without wasting any time or energy spent thinking about last week and using all your energy to move on to the following week so you could be at your best that week. And that's how you string wins together. You know, that's not, you know, that's why you don't win one, lose one, because at the end of the day, you're mediocre and you're watching all the good teams play. So the good teams win, and if you lose, you win. That's just how it is. So every team's trying to do that. Every team's trying to build on that. And, you know, we're pretty much like every other team.
But you're trying to, you said moving on, but at that moment then when you get into the locker room with your teammates after a win, is that maybe the best part of, you know, your week when it comes to being a professional athlete?
Yeah, that's a great part of the week. Probably the 4 minutes that you get to enjoy after the game until you, you know, start thinking about the next game. So it's, that's part of the marathon, part of the football season. It's a game of attrition, and it's for the mentally strong, and it's for the mentally tough, and for the physically tough, and then that's where the good teams, you know, begin to separate themselves. So kids aren't even trick-or-treating yet, so got a lot of football left to play.
There was a lot of talk after the game about identity, and people asking you, has this offense found its identity? Is that really a big deal to you in terms of if you're winning games, you don't really care what your identity is week to week as long as you're getting it done at the end, like you just said?
Well, yeah, and I think winning is the important part. So not so much of, you know, how you do it. I think when you look over the course of a long season, you're going to identify areas that you need to be better at, you know, when you look at a handful of games. But on an individual basis, it comes down to a few things, and you've got to be able to do those things. And I think our identity is what we set out to accomplish at the beginning of the week. So when Coach Belichick comes in like he did yesterday and he says, these are the things we need to do to win. This is the opponent we're playing. There's a specific way to play these guys. You know, this is how we're going to do it. Then that's what you try to do. And usually when we do those things, we win. And when we don't, we get, you know, yelled at for an hour the next day, and we usually have lost. So, you know, you play a specific opponent like the Rams that we haven't played, that we're not very familiar with, that has a specific style of play, and we have to understand it by studying it. Then you go out and practice against it and understand it better so that you're as prepared as you can be when a game happens on Sunday. And you go, oh, that really surprised me. Wow, I didn't realize that was the move this guy makes. Wow, I didn't realize how quick that guy is to, you know, read the quarterback. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Belichick's been saying all week. So that's what we have to be able to do.
Expanding on that a little bit, is this week, though, a little bit tougher getting ready for an opponent you don't know of because of all the travel things and other things? And might there be a bigger danger for what you just talked about, that on Sunday you look at something and say, wait a minute, that's not what we really expected?
Yeah, and well, there's an element of that every game, too, that you're not going to practice everything that they're going to do. I mean, they have a week to prepare just like we do, so it's not going to be the same stuff. They game plan for us as well as we game plan for them, so they have things that we're not going to have seen that you got to be able to adjust to, whether you adjust to it immediately, like on the play or on the sideline or at halftime. Those the adjustments you have to make. So you can prepare as hard as you want, but if they don't do it, then really you just, you know, that's part of football. And the longer you play, the more experience you have, the less things really surprise you, because you can reflect back on past seasons and games and, oh, yeah, well, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we should approach it. So,
the kind of mental toughness you were talking about of putting last week aside and, you know, that reactionary part of being a competitor aside, is that about maturity? Is that something that's gotten easier for you as you've gone along in your career?
Yeah, and I think I had a lot of great examples and mentors when I was a younger player of guys that were could put good games past them, could put bad games past them, and you move forward as a team. So, you know, we have a relatively young team. We have some great captains. We have some great veteran leadership that really has to carry the torch and say, no, guys, this is what we need to do. This is how we have to move on. And the better the veteran leadership is, then, you know, the better, the more the younger guys understand what they need to do, and they do their job, and you do your job, and everyone's doing their job, and then you all move forward with hopefully winning games.
Have you guys talked specifically about improving in the fourth quarter on both sides of the ball? It seems like you may not be playing your best football at that time when you probably wanted to.
I mean, we talk about a lot of things over the course of the week. So we talk about starting the game. We talk about finishing the game. We talk about overtime. We end up talking about everything. And really, you're trying to do everything well. So, you know, that's the goal every week, is to go out and play well for 60 minutes. And plus, if you need it, like we did last week. So there's not really, you know, too many instances where we, or ever, where we just feel like we can go out and roll our helmets out there and say, oh, this is gonna get it done. No, because we have to go out and earn it. And part of the NFL is earning every week, and you play very good teams like we've seen this year, and they make you earn it for 60 minutes. And if they beat the Patriots, they're going to have to play a good game. And if we, whoever we beat, we're going to have to play a good game.
Tom, throughout your career, this team has always had a better record the second half of the season than the first half, if you add it all up. Same thing the last four games as opposed to the previous four games. Is that something that gives you confidence, knowing that, you know, if you get through the first half, 5-3, that you're probably, you know, going to improve as you go on?
Because it's happened. I hope we improve. I mean, I think that's our goal. But like I said, it's not like you just think just because we're going to show up here every day and break a sweat, we're going to get better. I mean, I think you have to make conscious efforts to listen to your coaching, be mentally tough enough to accept the coaching, so that you can be a better team. And we work at that, and we work at that this week. We're going to work at it next week. End of December, we're going to be working on that. I mean, that's part of our job. There's really, the pressure is never off. It doesn't go away. It's just, you know, you build and you build and you build, and you try to get better and better and better so that when it matters the most, you're at your best.
Tom, is there anything to the idea that for a right-handed quarterback, it's easier to throw to the right side of the field, or there's a tendency to throw to that side more?
I've never really thought about that. Truthfully, I mean, as a quarterback, every shot or every throw is a straight throw. You know, if I'm looking at you, I'm throwing it straight. If I'm looking there, I'm throwing straight, because I'm just aligning my body really to make, you know, you can't throw curveballs out there or anything like that. Draw the ball in there. To the it doesn't work, no, it doesn't work. You'd have serious arm problems if you tried to do that. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it.
Enjoy the party.
All right, so there you go. Tom Brady from earlier today, and obviously the team's getting very much ready to prepare for the trip as well, and we'll jump into a little bit more of that on tomorrow's program. A couple of other notes here, and let me get some emails done before we get to Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts. Michael says, I do not trust Josh McDaniels' play-calling methodology. Sometimes the team sticks to the plan, like Denver game, but other times he's too conservative, and then the offense stalls. Josh doesn't know enough about personnel outside of his own selections, so he goes to his friends. Bill needs to teach Josh a lot more before Josh will be ready for any head coaching job. However, Josh is the likely candidate to succeed Bill, but if Bill can keep the team a strong and competitive team, well, Bill's going to be here for a long time. And then Tim sends this. He says, am I a believer? No. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm worried that he'll be successor to Bill. I hope it doesn't happen. He puts up great numbers, points and yardage, but he hasn't actually won anything. Massive collapse as Denver head coach, big yardage and a battered quarterback in St. Louis, lack of adjustments and quick to abandon the running game outside of third and long in New England. Didn't care for him in his first stint, don't care for him now. And regarding missed opportunities, no matter what happens going forward, we've missed them. We should have been the first team to win 3 in a row but imploded in Denver, and we should have been the first team to go 19-0 but couldn't muster up more than 17 points with the best statistical offense to set foot on the field. Essentially, we move the ball better in the no huddle with Tom calling plays than we do huddled up with Josh. Okay, those are all legitimate points. Scott in Huntington Beach says, I don't find it alarming, nor can I find it comforting at this point, talking about McDaniels being the OC. However, with the tutoring from Bill for the next years to come, I do believe he could prove to be the next great coach, but really, it's just too early to give a definitive answer. The jury is still out. Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. I hate to say it, but I don't believe in Josh McDaniels. First of all, he had a lot of great players and some with freakish receiving ability in 07 like Randy Moss. Unfortunately, we don't have a 30-year-old Brady and a legitimate deep threat to stretch the field effectively. What has he shown us since? He didn't make it in Denver. Rams offense last year was pretty bad, to put it mildly, and now he's back in New England. He has yet to show us the way that he runs an offense is better than Bill O'Brien's. Interesting. Tim says, John, I have three words for anybody that would trust Josh McDaniels to run our team. Tim effing Tebow. I have my faith in him as a head coach, but as a GM, as Borat would say, not so much. I think he's talking about Belichick there. And then this one comes from the NFL Monkey. Love that one, right? Just a thought, but I agree Brandon Lloyd should have brought down more of the catches than he did. But the truth is, I remember Randy Moss dropping multiple passes, and yet he had some of the best hands I've ever seen. So I'm willing to give Lloyd the benefit of the doubt, but I've seen a lack of chemistry since preseason. They just haven't clicked yet. The it factor seems to be missing. And I would agree with that. Several people have pointed that out, the it factor between Lloyd and Brady. In fact, Monkey says, I feel that way about the whole team. It seems there's a lot of potential there that just hasn't manifested yet.
John, I figure anybody named NFL Monkey would appreciate any receiver with opposable thumbs, no?
You would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I look at it.
You would think. Kerry Byrne, Cold Hard Football Facts, which is coming up here in just a couple of moments on Patriots.com radio. What are your thoughts on Josh McDaniels and how his numbers have sort of borne out over his years as a coach and a coordinator in St. Louis, which is what really started the conversation today because of the St. Louis tie-in?
I'll tell you what, John, I'm shocked, and I'm still shocked every time I hear Patriots fans fretting about the offense.
Yeah.
You still have the number one scoring offense in football. You have the worst pass defense in Patriots history.
But the offense, though, is responsible for not putting the foot on the jugular of the opposition.
And I agree with the fourth quarter comebacks. But these are games that in 2004 with this offense, they would have been up 38-10 because the defenses make points happen. People don't appreciate this. Defenses make points happen. They put your offense in a better position. They score points. How many times have we seen the Patriots score points defensively in recent weeks or
That's
even
true.
Recent years?
That's
they don't
point.
Do it.
Right.
So the problem is purely 100% on the defense. And anyone who's thinking otherwise, John, the Cold Hard Football Facts say they're out of their mind.
Really?
Yes. It's all
even
about the defense.
Even in spite of being outscored 34-6 in the fourth quarter over the last 3 weeks.
It's all about the defense. Listen, the offense can play better, but the offense can't play a whole lot better. The defense is the worst pass defense in Patriots history. This is a bad defense, John, and I don't know why people are looking the wrong way. They're not looking at the problem. They're finding excuses for the problem when it's pretty clear. I've done a bunch of radio shows this week around the country talking about it, and the problems are pretty clear. You have a very good offense and a very bad defense. Where's the problem?
Interesting. All right. That conversation, I'm sure, will continue with Kerry Byrne here. Cold Hard Football Facts coming up momentarily on Patriots.com radio. Our thanks to Steve Savard of the St. Louis Rams for joining us early in the program. Eric Scalavino from PFW. Same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Eric will be back. Russell Baxter will be back. We hope to hear from our UK Pats fans as well as we go overseas to play those Rams this Sunday.
Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2